There are many others who, for whatever reasons, were just unavailable this morning, but we've got Kingdom Builders, we've got all sorts of other ministries in our church. And, you know, our church has been through a lot in the last few years. When COVID hit, that was just the start. We've been through more than most churches in the last few years. And the main thing has remained the main thing, and the strength that we see around us is really because we are a church family who are in this regardless, irrespective of whatever might be thrown at us. We understand what church family is. Kate, I want to ask you first, actually, an unscripted question, because I know you and Josh, where's Josh? Right at the back. Kate and Josh, you have a beautiful revelation around we're a part of this regardless. So Ray's got your microphone there. Can you tell us what church means to you?
What church means to me? Well, I guess because I've been raised here and my parents have been here their whole lives and I've been here my whole life, I have a really strong revelation that this is my church. And we don't just go get swayed in the reeds with the wind and where the wind's blowing and what looks cool at the time and something cool might be happening over there, or this is my church, and so this is where God's called me to build, and the community that I'm called to be a part of, but not just to be a part of and consume from, but to build and contribute to. So this house, this actual City Point Redcliffe, but also this region and this area. I just think if God's called you, that's where you stay until he calls you to the next thing, and you got to know that you know. So yeah, this is where I am, and that's it.
And while you've got the microphone, yeah. Events is very checklist heavy.
Yeah.
You know, we have like an 8-week checklist, 6-week, 4-week, 2-week, and it's all checklists.
Yeah.
But what is the heart behind an event? When you go into an event, how do you carry the why? What is your why?
Yeah, the why is such an important question to ask for every event. Why are we doing this event? And it always comes down to outreach. Like, events is such an outreach heavy aspect of our church, and that's the mission, is to create spaces and places where we can invite our community to come in, where you guys here in this congregation can invite your family and your friends and your workmates to come along to church, because we've got this thing happening. And so we create spaces for people to be invited to come and to connect and to gather. And so whatever that looks like, through whether it's feasting and creating beautiful looking spaces and whatever it is, just having fun and parties for Jesus.
It's a beautiful opportunity just to bring a standard of excellence, which is a form of worship.
Yeah.
And it sets a table for people. So thank you for doing that. If you were to do a pitch, like, how many people would you love added to your team this year?
Oh, look, the more the merrier. I would say like a solid 7 to 10 people on team would be amazing, because events covers everything from people who have an eye for detail and styling a space and creating, like, making a space look beautiful. People who have a heart for hospitality and just hope, like, this is our home. And so we're inviting people to come be a part of our family, be a part of our home. And so just as you would if you were having someone to your house for dinner, if you are someone who loves to do that and host people in your house, you probably have a gift for it to serve in the house of God as well. So like anything from catering and styling and decor and planning festivals and admin and details, all of that. Honestly, come join the events team, which is on a mission to outreach for our community and plan the best parties for Jesus. That's it.
Jared, tell us about the worship ministry and what worship means in a church community, corporate worship.
Awesome. Well, I think we all get swept up in those moments where we see Jesus more clearly, right? And I think our goal in those moments of singing collectively is to see Jesus and to lift our voices and respond to the wonder of Jesus. You know, it's call and response. It's the call is that God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen? And our response is, you are worthy. You're worthy. You are holy. Everything about you is glorious. And so as a church, we're beginning to get a view of God that is enlarged. Not that he's changing, but we're learning to magnify the God who was and is to come. Does that make sense? So our focus as a church community and why worship is so important for us is because we don't want to just get sucked down into stinking thinking, of earthly thinking, of this, our eyes seeing just our struggles and our valleys and our pressures, but our eyes see the brilliance of Jesus. Our eyes see the God who has overcome. Our eyes. And so what worship does and what creativity does, and it's, you know, I lead the creative community here. Our goal is to make his praise glorious, to tell of his glory in the earth, to sing of his glory and to make his praise glorious. And you think about, you know, things like our Christmas gatherings and our Easter gatherings coming up. Our desire is to step into creativity so that we could tell his story beautifully, that it would be like an echoing out of the wonder of Jesus in the earth. I'll stop preaching.
So good. No, can you preach a little bit more about the power of coming together in corporate worship?
Yeah, I think there's such power in agreement, right? Have you ever been in a room where it's just like, yes, you know, or you see that before, you know, this in a lot of ways is the halftime break for our week. This is the moment. This isn't the game. This is actually the halftime break, because what we're doing out there every day of the week is actually is scattering. But this gathering moment is empowering us. It's retuning our hearts to the presence of God. It's helping us see again what really matters. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So when we gather, it's a recentering on Jesus. And then as we recenter on Jesus, we go back out with power. You know, the most remarkable thing happened in Acts 1 and 2, that the church gathered and they waited. They gathered. You know, the word for church actually means to gather. This is a gathering of people. It's not just because there's a building and music. It's actually, the church is actually a people on mission together. And then we go out, we scatter out in the earth, and we go hopefully filled, like in Acts 1 and 2, where they went and they scattered from Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And here we are in Australia telling of the glory of Jesus, because his name can't be stopped in the earth. But it comes with the value of getting together. You know, it says in Acts 2:42 that don't neglect getting together. Don't neglect breaking bread together. Don't neglect the gathering of the saints. It's good for us.
It's awesome. So we've got To God Be the Glory this Tuesday night. The following Tuesday is the launch for the worship team, the creative team. And then after that, the ball's rolling. People are getting plugged in.
That's right. I just want to take the moment to honor our creative team as well.
Yeah.
Can we like shout out to the guys? I've been overwhelmed to see the way that our creative team, since I've only been around, 8 months or something now, and what I've come to learn is that there's a core group of guys who are pillars in this community. Mm. And when I say the creative team, it's not just the band and the singers, it's, you know, Jason at the back, it's Chloe who sits behind that computer like 1,000 times in a year probably. There's this willingness and this desire to actually build something beautiful together, and we can't do it without you guys. But what I've come to terms with is there's pillars who are like on multiple times every weekend, which I celebrate. But what if there's some hidden giants in the room?
Right.
What if there's some giants who have this beautiful gift that they're holding back and just playing in their bedroom? It's like, no, it's not just meant for your bedroom. Let's like get your voice out, get your instrument out, and let's use it in the gathering of the saints. Like, everyone knows how to use a computer these days, and we struggle to fill that back desk of volunteers. Like, surely, guys,
come on,
please help.
Come on. how many people do you want on team in the creative team?
Honestly, we need to double, you know,
right,
from where we are.
Let's do it.
Because I love the fragrance of someone's life, like Josh Smith and Dan Lindley and some of these guys who are like on nearly every week, multiple times a week, you know. I'm so proud of them. And it's the fragrance. They're doing it for Jesus. It actually makes them come alive. Mm-hmm. So I'm not ashamed of saying that. I think it's a good thing that they're playing a bunch. But you know what? I reckon there's people in the room, and there's people amongst our community who's just waiting to be activated.
Right.
And so my heart for the creative team this year is really just to activate people who are waiting for opportunity to step in and step up.
So good. Ali, it's your turn. Ali, I was arrested by a phrase you use when you're talking about life groups, just like about the couch, like just having someone on your couch. And can you just share your heart around the power of a life group and a personal connection for discipleship? However you want to share it, it will be beautiful.
I've said it many times, but if you have a couch and you have a kettle and you love the Lord, you're ready to run a life group. I think people think you need to know every answer that people are going to have or be able to preach a sermon every week in your living room. But literally, a life group is just creating a beautiful space for us as the church to come, whether it's weekly, fortnightly, monthly, and actually commune with one another. The Bible tells us to not forsake gathering regularly at church, but also Jesus, his life was in homes, yep, around the table. It was a space where people could pray for one another, encourage one another, edify one another, confess our sins with one another so that we can be accountable and actually grow in our life with Jesus. And I think that we get it in our minds that it's this big thing that it's not. It's literally sitting on the couch, having a packet of Tim Tams open and saying, hey, let's pray with one another. Let's read the Bible together. If we have questions, we've got leadership at church that are happy to answer those questions, but let's do it together. Life is hard alone and not meant to be done alone. And I think when we come together week in and week out in our homes, not only are we bettered, but then we encourage one another to go into their worlds and to actually influence it for good and for God. So I know you all have a kettle. Some of you even have coffee machines, like legit ones ready to go. And I will buy the Tim Tams for you if you can't afford it. So I'm expecting like a solid 10 life groups out of today. Because you know that you can. You've just got a reason that you won't. But let me help you tell you why that reason's not good. So come talk to me after, and I would love to give you resources to do it if you feel like you can't, because you can. You love Jesus, and that's all you need.
So good. Thanks, Ellie. I was going to ask you, if I was thinking about it, what would I do? But just come and see you after the service.
Yeah.
It's the most, actually Barry and Charmaine, who led it for years before Ali, have done a fabulous job of setting up structures and that sort of thing. So literally, you've just got to say, I'll turn my kettle on, Ali, and love someone. I'll just love somebody. I love a group of people regularly in my space. So yeah, thanks, Ali. It's beautiful. I want to hear from you, Caitlin, because it's another beautiful role like Kate's, where it can seem like it's just a very tasky job. Yep. But I want you to share, because I know this is your whole heart, about the why behind why it's important to do your function in our church family.
My why, I've been in this role since November last year, sort of got co-horsed into it by Shakina and Quinton, but I love it. The reason I said yes is because it actually gives you an opportunity to, you're doing all the finer little details that no one really sees, moving the dividers so more people can sit, making sure that people have their microphones, the band knows what's going on, yourself or someone else preaching knows what's going on. And that then means that none of you have to think about it. You can all step into your role and minister to the church and have people come to God. And it's through simple things of making sure the auditorium looks nice, making sure that the mics are in place. And it's just the simplest things, but it actually gives other people opportunity to minister to the congregation.
So beautiful. Thank you. We appreciate that. And I think I love that, the really task-focused roles, when you understand the why, like straightening chairs. Well, actually, someone's going to sit in that chair, and someone's going to experience Jesus in that chair, and someone's going to get a touch of heaven in that chair. And so as I'm straightening that chair or putting it out, I'm praying over it. And it isn't just a task. It's actually facilitating a move of God. And when we see that, it like as if you wouldn't do it, as if you wouldn't say, I want to be a part of that. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. Amanda, pastoral care. So Amanda's job is not to pastor for every single person in the church. Amanda has worked with this beautiful team in resourcing them with the ability to pastor their people. But we're really excited because we're expanding the pastoral team. Can you share a little bit about what 2024 looks like in your world?
Yes, so I came on in pastoral care at the start of last year, had no idea what I was doing. So last year was very much learning myself and things like that. But this year is a year of building and expanding and growing. And so, yes, this is the pastoral care team when you think about it. But we also have a lot of phone calls that come in during the week. We also have a lot of people coming to visit and ask for prayer. And there's a lot of situations. I'm sure there's people in the room being like, yep, that's me. I'd love pastoral support in what's going on in my life. And so we're building a team of people who can be those people, be those mentors, be those people that visit hospital, people in hospital and things like that. And so I'm really excited because while we have had that in the past and then COVID, you know, all those types of things, this is really the year that I'm excited to have. We've got a group of people, they've got the time in their calendar, they have a heart for people that is goes beyond like a whole new level. They'll intercede for them outside of the visit, all those types of things. And I have beautiful Naeus Grant coming on one day a week to assist in that area. So I'm really excited to glean from her and the experience that she has. And yeah, so.
It's actually a beautiful stage in life that, like, I've heard from also, I'm just going to name Andrea and John. John's up the back, Andrea here. And Barry and Charmaine and Naeus and Ian and people in that stage of life who are about to retire or have retired, and they're like, yes, now I can actually spend all my time building the kingdom. And so it's been amazing because just this year, so many people have come into that space and said, I just want to love people, like just give me lists of people to love on and spend time with. And so maybe if that's you, and you can make phone calls or make hospital visits or sit down with people at a coffee shop and you have the time to do that just to love them and care for them and then feed information back and that we can support people better, we're inviting you to say hi to Amanda out in the foyer and say, I'm going to make my time count. I'm going to make the time I have count. And so it's just been an incredibly encouraging thing to see God's obviously stirring this in our church right now. So we want to invite you to do that. We'll head down to the Love Army. Mark and Suze, can you give us a quick update? Just what is the Love Army? Firstly, what is the Love Army? And what, because this is growing. He's so pretending to be shy. So it's growing. It started as an idea that we knew could have been bigger than Ben-Hur, but in your wisdom, you said we're going to just do this in a sustainable way. So can you give us an update? What is the Love Army? Where are we at? And what's our focus this year?
So the Love Army is pretty much our motto is the church in action. We want to be the hands and feet of Christ in the community. So we have started fairly slow. It's deliberate that we keep this sustainable because we don't want anyone, well, including ourselves, to burn out because this is for the long haul. So at the moment, what we've been doing is monthly working bees. So they're actually back a little bit. There are three parts of the Love Army. So there is meal preparation, there's hampers, and then there's a helping hands group. So Mark and I run the helping hands group and we go out every Saturday monthly, one Saturday a month. And we basically do whatever needs to be done if we have a job request in the community. So that could include garden cleanups, helping someone move, cleaning their house. It's been quite a variety of different tasks at the moment. Our vision, after last year, we've seen a lot of our jobs ended up being garden cleanups, which was fun. We've got an awesome team. It's very practical, hands-on. But for this year, apart from people's physical needs, we need to meet that spiritual need there too. So it's awesome hearing about the pastoral care team growing because that's something that we actually really need to plug into our working bees is to have people sitting there with the people that we're helping and just chatting to them. We want a Bible in their hand. We want to feel that spiritual need. And they are open. They're open to the gospel because we are there filling their physical needs that they have. And so there is that open gateway there. For example, this job that we've got coming up this Saturday, we're helping a disabled couple, an elderly couple in a community housing estate. So we're going to go in there, we're going to help their, they can't actually get into their courtyard at the moment, so we'll help clear that out. We'll help the rest of the whole estate because it's completely overgrown, but we actually, we'll need a pastoral care person there.
Amazing.
Which is, again, is awesome seeing the way that things are growing to sit there with that couple as well. Do you have anything?
Yes, I do. There's a lot of pots and plants this Saturday. So if you're looking for some pots and plants, and it's one of those things, like it's a simple need. These guys, the couple, older couple, they've got the walkers. They can't even get outside. Their place has just got pots and plants everywhere. So they just physically can't move stuff. There's a couch in front of their exit point for the courtyard and they can't even move it to get past it. So just simple things like that. But one of the requests that we really need is, like the saying goes, we need the church to be the eyes and ears so we can be the hands and feet. So a lot of people don't want to ask for help. Like people don't want to admit they need help. People don't want to be like, oh, it's a bit cheeky. Can you come and mow my lawn or can you take this out or something? Like no one actually kind of goes like, yes, a free ride. So we really need you guys in the community to look out for opportunities to go, hey, I met this couple, I know this person, someone from the care team or someone around that goes, do you need a hand with something? Like I've noticed that this is happening, or like a bond clean, we did the first job that we did. They needed a bond clean, they needed to clean up and get out of their house, and the partner, the husband was really reluctant at the time and was a bit like, why are you helping type thing? We can do this ourselves. But at the end of the day, that relationship between them was brought together stronger and he was really appreciative of like absolutely everything. So that relationship that was not so strong has become stronger because of what we've done.
Right.
But we really just need people to help. Like, if it's pastoral care, that'd be great. If it's pushing a lawnmower, it's great. If it's cooking a meal so we can bring it to people, that'd be great. So if you can do any of those things, it's a huge help for us to use your resources in different ways.
And say I meet someone who does need the Love Army's assistance, how do I submit that request?
That is an awesome question.
There is a link. So we've got a... We have flyers, but I can post on our sort of webpage. There's a link there which goes to Google Forms.
Yeah, and then so you're on Facebook, is that right?
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page.
Yep. Yep.
And so you can submit a link, like a job request, either meals, hampers, mm-hmm. or helping hands request.
Do we have a helping hands request on our Linktree? Awesome. There are many ways. And if you don't know, just come visit us at the concierge desk. It'd be awesome. All right. Well, we'll finish with one more. Rach, can you tell us about the host team? Tell us about how precious the host team is and what your heart for that is right now.
Yeah. So I took on the host team towards the end of last year. It's really such a pivotal team. One of the first things that I remember when we joined City Point was someone in my face saying hello and making me feel welcome. And, you know, then that person actually became one of my best friends. But my heart for the host team this year is actually to make our house a home for people that come into the community, from the community. And the way that we do that, like Kate spoke about, is when we are hosting people in our homes, we open the door to them and we make them feel welcome and we show them where we're going to sit and, you know, and we actually make them feel at home. And that's what my vision is for the host team this year. So, Yeah, and so please come and see me if you're interested. Like, it's literally the easiest team to be on. Like, if you just want to be so lazy, you don't have to rehearse for anything like you do on creative. You don't have to look after little kids. Like, you can, it's because everyone's in those different seasons, and if you just want to come and make people feel at home, then it's so easy to do. So, yeah, come and see me.
So we need all the sanguines in the room to sign up for host team.
Well, you don't have to be a sanguine.
It's true, actually. It's
Gordon's
very
not
true.
A sanguine.
No.
He does a great job.
Amazing connection. Yeah, so true. All right, can we give it up for these guys? So good. So in the foyer after the service, we are boldly just saying, come join team. You'll see a board out there that says the kids team would love this many on team, youth would love this many on team. Like, we've actually quantified it so that you can see that, it looks like we have all the bases covered, but actually we don't. And maybe you can play a part, and actually you should be playing a part in the family of God if this is family. And so we want to encourage you to visit these guys. We'll all be in the expo after the service and say, I'd love just to help out. I'd love to find out a little bit more about that. I know this is my time. This is my year. I'm ready now. Can we all stand to our feet this morning? Incredible. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? Lord Jesus, I thank you today. I thank you for church family. Lord, I thank you for community. I thank you for people to sit with, to live with, to walk with, to have coffee with, to call, to lean into, to raise kids with. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for community. Lord, your word tells us that you place us in families. And so we each individually thank you for placing us in family, in this family. And Father God, I just pray that you would release a unity over our church family. Release a deeper, greater measure of unity over our church family, of binding together of hearts, of knitting together of journeys. Father, of joining arms and walking together, caring, Lord, seeing each other and seeing others. Lord, I just pray for unity to be poured out in 2024 over our church family. The connection, Lord, that you would so desire, that it would really transpire this year. Father, if there's any one of us here in this room, God, who you're challenging and you're saying it's time. You've got so much to offer. You have something to offer. Father, I pray for a response that says, yes, Lord, I will bring what I have. Might be big, it might be small, God, but I'll bring what I have. Lord, and the ones who right now are giving themselves, are rehearsing all those reasons why they shouldn't. Maybe life doesn't look perfect right now. Maybe you've got a whole bunch of things going on and you just actually don't feel like you're the right person for the job. I just want to challenge you, whose voice is that? Whose voice is that? When the Spirit of God is saying, no, I've put you in this family. You have so much to offer. Father God, I pray for growth that will take place in our hearts as we lean in. Growth, as it's not about what we get. It's about what we become. And so I thank you for a year of becoming in our lives individually. Father, we would all be on the journey. We would all be taking next steps in you. And this morning, Father, for anyone in the room who maybe hasn't made a decision to follow you, for anyone in the room who's searching, for anyone in the room who isn't in a relationship with you, who does not call you their Lord and Savior and doesn't walk in communion with you daily, for all those ones in the room, Father, I pray for hearts laid bare right in this moment as you speak directly to those ones and say, that's you, and I'm inviting you to myself to be in relationship with a living God, to be in communion with a living God daily, not just Sundays, not just at Easter or Christmas, daily. As he's inviting you back this morning, would your heart respond and say, yeah, that's actually my first step, is to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life, to come into a relationship with Him, maybe for the first time or maybe as a reconnection because you've walked away. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I'll be looking around. I wonder if that's you and you'd like to raise your hand and say, I'm responding today to the invitation of making Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anyone else here this morning? And that's your next step. Just saying yes to Jesus. Give me a wave as I look across one more time. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that meets us where we're at and whispers an invitation to us. Father, your heart extended to us, the Father God, with his arms stretched wide, giving the ultimate gift of his Son to stand in a place where we should have stood, paying a price we should have paid. Father, so that you could reconnect us to yourself with the perfect sacrifice of your Son. Nothing left undone, nothing left unfinished. We can now walk boldly into your presence, into your embrace, Lord God, and accept your love and your lordship over our lives. Father, for those ones who have responded this morning, that repentance is just a turn of the heart towards the Father, a response that turns away from one thing and towards the Father. And so I thank you today for repentant hearts in this room. Father, I thank you for the gift of salvation. I thank you that you meet us where we're at and you come in like a flood. And so today, Father, I ask for the forgiveness of sins, the washing clean, Lord God, Father, the healing, Lord, from maybe shame and regret. I thank you, God, that you're not mad, you're not angry, God. Your heart is extended towards us, and this is just the beginning. So today I seal it with the blood of Jesus, this decision. Father God, a hedge of protection around them, Lord, and that they would be diligent to take next steps in you, to make this decision a devotion, a life heading in your direction, Lord God, with you, in you, towards you, Lord Jesus. And Father God, we just thank you today. We thank you for salvation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's give those ones a round of applause.
Thanks for joining us online. We pray you are blessed by today's message. If you want prayer for anything, you want to connect with us, or you made a commitment to Jesus today, we'd love to take this from a digital to a personal relationship. So reach out via the link in the description below. Be blessed. We'll see you soon.